Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everybody doing today? I cannot believe it, but next week is the last round of my group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, and I cannot believe how fast the last 12 weeks have gone. I was having a one-on-one with one of the members last week, because you also get one-on-ones as part of the group program, and she was telling me how much has changed in her relationship since the start of the program, and she used the phrase life-changing, which honestly just made me so happy, and I even feel emotional now talking about it, because that's exactly how I described feeling when I first learned these tools and concepts. So hearing other people go through the exact same process and the exact same thing just made me so, so excited and proud, and it really reminds me of why I do this program and why I decided to become a coach. So I'll come back to talking about the program a little bit more at the end, because the next round is going to start in May. So if you're interested, hang on and listen right to the end and stick around. I will give you all the details there. But in today's episode, I wanted to talk about a question that I often get asked when I do my Q&As on Instagram. And that's the question, is this reasonable? And of course, when people ask me this, it's phrased about a specific thing. So is it reasonable for me to ask my partner to text me more? Or is it reasonable for me to tell my partner I don't want them to hang out with a certain friend? Is it reasonable for me to not want my partner to go to a strip club on their stag do? How do I know what's a reasonable request versus what isn't? And so I wanted to talk today about how the premise of that question is actually totally flawed. Because the question assumes that reasonable is a factual thing that exists, that we could all agree on. But it isn't. Reasonable is totally subjective. What I might think is reasonable, someone else might think is totally unreasonable. And we see this all the time in the world around us. We are constantly disagreeing about what's right and wrong, good or bad, a reasonable reaction or an unreasonable reaction. We see it all the time. Humans cannot agree. I was recently watching the UK Celebrity Big Brother, and there was an argument in the house between two housemates. And I was in a group chat texting people about it. And I thought that one person on the show was being totally unreasonable. That was my brain's default thought. And someone else in the group chat had the thought that they were totally in the right and they were being totally reasonable. And they thought the other person in the argument was being totally unreasonable. Who was right? Neither of us, because we both just had totally optional subjective opinions. The argument itself, what happened between the two housemates, was just a neutral circumstance. And what we each thought about it was just our opinion. So it's really important that you consider that when you find yourself wanting to ask experts what's reasonable and what isn't, what's right to do and what's wrong to do. Because some therapists and coaches and people on Instagram will tell you that they have the definite answer, that they know exactly what you should do, that they know exactly what is the perfect amount of text to ask from your partner or the perfect thing to say during an argument. And they'll give you scripts and they'll tell you exactly what to do or say. But all they're telling you is their optional opinion. And that doesn't make it a fact. I see this all the time. I've seen literal posts saying, here's a list of reasonable things to want in a relationship. But based on whose idea of what's reasonable? Reasonable is totally made up and it would look different to everyone. It's a judgment that a human brain makes. And many human brains could make totally different judgments about how reasonable one request is compared to another. And so often when our partners are behaving in ways that we don't like or we have disagreements with them, we tend to think something has gone wrong and so we look for someone to blame. Either they are bad and unreasonable for doing the thing or not doing the thing, or we were bad and unreasonable for expecting it of them in the first place. We think that someone needs to be to blame, someone needs to be the guilty party and one of us needs to be being the unreasonable one. But what if instead of seeing things as right or wrong, reasonable or unreasonable, what if you decided instead to think of them in terms of want matches? And I've talked about want matches before on this podcast, but I'll just re-explain it for those that haven't heard that episode. Definitely go and check it out if you haven't already. So we all have certain wants in our relationships, things we'd love to happen, things we really want to experience within our relationships. Maybe you want your partner to text you throughout their day. Or maybe you want your partner to go on a date night with you once a week. Or maybe you want your partner to be affectionate and hold your hand while you go on walks together. Now, some of these things might be a match for what your partner also wants. They too may like texting you throughout the day. They might love going to fancy restaurants with you once a week. Or they might love to hold your hand in public. Great, those are want matches. They're matches of you two wanting the same thing. But other times, some of the things you want may not be a match for your partner. They may have different thoughts about those things, different preferences. And so they may not naturally show up in that way, and it may not feel in their nature to do those things. And most people get very upset and resentful when their partner doesn't meet one of their wants. They say things like, if they really loved me, they'd do this for me. If they really cared about me and they know how important this is to me, then they would do it to meet this need of mine. Completely forgetting that their partner is their own unique person with their own unique wants and preferences, and theirs are just as valid too. And that doesn't mean you wanting those things is unreasonable. It just means their brain doesn't think about it in the same way that yours does. And I think we've kind of assumed that the job of our partner is to meet all of our demands and behave the way that we've requested them to behave, as long as what we've asked is reasonable. And again, I'm doing this in quotation marks, if you could see me. Again, it's totally subjective. But what if your partner's job wasn't to just do whatever you wanted them to do in order to manage your emotions for you? What if their job wasn't just to perform in ways that you could then have positive emotions about, even if it doesn't come naturally to them or feel good to them? It doesn't matter how reasonable you think a request you're making is. If your partner doesn't want to do it, or it doesn't feel natural and good to them to do it, would you really want to force them? Would you really want them to do that thing from a place of resentment and obligation? Would that really create the result that you wanted? Likely not. So I want to bring this back to an example now, and I'm going to pick one that I get asked about a lot and people can get quite triggered by, and that's your partner going to a strip club. And I've had someone ask me once, is it reasonable for me not to be happy with my partner going to a strip club? Now, if this isn't something you struggle with or have thoughts about, that's okay. Just use the way that I approach this topic and talk about it and apply it to your own example and your own specific situation. Now, remember, your partner going to a strip club is actually a totally neutral circumstance. How do we know? Because some people would think it's a terrible thing and that they should never be doing it. Others would think it's no big deal and it's just a laugh. And some would think it's okay on certain occasions, but not in others. So the circumstance itself is neutral, and what you choose to think about it is just optional. And your partner may have different thoughts about it than you do. And that doesn't make their thoughts unreasonable or yours unreasonable. It means you are two humans with different brains, both offering different thoughts. Notice how that already takes some of the edge off. When you're not in this mental war of who's right and who's wrong, you can instead just see it as two humans with totally different human brains and opinions. And instead of judging them and fighting to be right or texting 10 friends to get them all to agree with you and act as the jury, you can get curious about their perspective and talk to them about your own. And where I always advise people to start with this work is to first clean up your own thinking about the issue. So let's keep with the example of your partner going to a strip club. I had a client that was struggling with this, and her partner was going on a lad's holiday for a stag party or a bachelor party for my American listeners. And he said that one of the nights they would likely be going to a strip club. And she felt extremely triggered by this. Now, most of the time when we feel triggered by something, we jump to assume that that means the thing is bad or wrong and that our partner needs to not do it to protect our feelings. But remember, bad and wrong is totally subjective. It's not a fact. And when you're triggered, it's not your most rational, logical brain doing the talking. It's your unintentional, reactive brain that is talking, your primitive brain. So first, slowing down to look at the thoughts that you have about the situation so that you can then decide what you want to think about it intentionally and on purpose is really important. For my client, what was triggered in her was feelings of insecurity. She had thoughts like, he's going to find them more attractive. If he goes into strip clubs, he's definitely going to cheat. And those thoughts were driving her to want to forbid him from going and basically freaking out at him. She kind of let all her anxiety out at him and it turned into a big argument. And of course, that was not a rational, intentional response to the situation. It was just her fearful brain's default response. So slow it down first. Whatever the circumstance is that you're thinking about, first get clear on the facts of the circumstance. And then get curious about why is it a problem for you? What does your brain make it mean? Why is it triggering for your brain? What story does your brain have about it? And don't worry, this doesn't mean you necessarily need to coach your brain to be totally fine with it. You might still decide that this thing isn't okay with you. We don't want to be fine with any and all behaviors. But this is the first step in owning your own thoughts and becoming intentional with your own thinking so that you can make that decision and decide what's a deal breaker and what isn't. And coming back to my client in this situation, her feeling unhappy about him going to a strip club wasn't reasonable or unreasonable. It was just optional. Some people would feel a lot of negative emotion about it. Some people would not have any negative emotion about it. And that doesn't make one right and one wrong. It just makes both an option. And her work was to decide if she wanted to choose intentionally to have negative thoughts about it or choose not to. And exactly what she wanted to think about it on purpose. So when I coached my client on this, she did realize that her negative feelings about the strip club were all coming from her own fears and insecurities. What made her unhappy with the situation was her beliefs about her own attractiveness and an attempt to try and control her partner from straying or cheating so that she could feel safe. Even though that was kind of totally irrational, because let's be honest, he could not go into a strip club on this lad's holiday and still choose to cheat on her. So it wasn't actually going to create the certainty that her brain was so desperate to create. Her brain was just kind of using that as something to try and get control over. So reflect on your thoughts about the situation. Do you like your thoughts about this? Or is there some mind drama coming up that you need to clean up first? And my previous episode talked all about how to choose new thoughts, so that'll be really helpful with this if you need to do some of that work first. Now, once you've got into a more intentional place, you may decide that the thing isn't a problem anymore, which is what my client did. She knew that it was just for a stag do, and she didn't have a problem with him going with his friends on a stag do to a strip club for any other reason other than it bringing up her own insecurities and her own fear that he was going to misbehave, which again, she knew she couldn't control and was kind of irrational when she thought about it. He could cheat on the holiday whether he went to the strip club or not. So when we coached her through that, she realized that she could then work on managing her insecurities and fears for herself, which we did in our session. Other times, you may clean up your thoughts about something and still decide it's something that you don't want to be okay with. Maybe the behavior your partner is doing goes against a moral value of yours. Maybe you want to feel negatively about the thing, and that's okay too. But I want you to be really honest with yourself here and make sure you do the first step first, because often our brains will just dig their heels in and say, oh, I have a moral value against my partner following models on Instagram. It's a values thing, and this is why I'm unhappy about it. When really, the real issue is it's bringing up insecurities in you. Actually, you need to own those things first and clean those up first, and then decide if that's still a deal breaker, if that's still a problem. And I remember asking a client that. I said, if you believed your partner fully loved you and was attracted to you and was never going to leave you, would them following a few models on Instagram be such a big deal? And she said, well, no, it wouldn't be a big deal then. So it wasn't that she was morally opposed to him following models on Instagram. It was her anxious story about what that meant that made her freak out. So we have to really look at that first, guys. I can't stress that enough. Got to look at those thoughts and make sure we are owning our own thoughts, stories, anxieties, clean those up so that we can decide what is an actual problem that we want to see as a problem and what isn't. And I mean, you don't have to do any of this stuff. But if you're listening to this podcast and you want to show up to your relationships from a place of empowerment and confidence and security, my advice is to always own your own insecurities and work on them yourself instead of making them your partner's job to manage. So ask yourself, what are my thoughts about this? What are my reasons for not wanting this behavior or wanting this behavior? Do I like those thoughts and do I like my reasons? Do they feel good to me? Or do they feel a little bit disempowering and like I'm trying to control something that's outside of my control? Are they conscious and deliberate thoughts? Or are they fearful, insecure thoughts from my default primitive brain? This will really show you where your work lies before you move forward. Another example I see a lot is texting. My clients will say, but isn't it reasonable to want your partner to check in every few hours? It's not unreasonable. They have their phone right there. Why can't they just do it? And again, that's the wrong question to ask, because reasonable isn't a fact. Your brain may love texting and find checking in with your partner every few hours a totally normal thing to do. But your partner may not have the same thought process and not think about texting in the same way. So then it won't come naturally to them. It won't be an effortless thing for them to do. It will feel very alien to them to be doing that. It doesn't come naturally to them. We will always base our own idea of what's reasonable on our own brains. Have you noticed that? So if we love to text and our habit is texting back within a day, it is no shock that our baseline for what's reasonable is texting back within a day. Or say you like to go out and get drunk, but only on Saturday night. Maybe then you think that someone that goes out and gets drunk on a Tuesday night is totally unreasonable, and that's crazy, because that isn't matching your brain's idea of the norm. So you're likely to see it as unreasonable or bizarre or strange. It doesn't match your worldview, your idea of what's normal. But everyone else is operating from their own versions of the norm, and what's normal to them could be totally different to what's normal to you. So consider, what are the facts of their behaviour, and what am I making them mean? How might their brain work totally differently to mine when it comes to this? And spend time challenging your initial thoughts about it so that you can decide on purpose what you want to think. Now, let's talk about when there is a behaviour that you don't like or want in your relationship, and you've decided this after cleaning up your thoughts about it and you're coming to it from an intentional place. Maybe your partner goes out drinking with their friends 3 nights a week and you don't like that. You don't want a partner that does that. Your job isn't now to demand that your partner changes and tell them how unreasonable it is that they go out that much. Remember, their role in the relationship isn't to mold themselves into the person that you think they should be or behave the way that you think reasonable them should behave. Their role is to be themselves and for you to enjoy sharing mutual wants and desires. Your role isn't to help them see how unreasonable they are, because that is, again, not a fact. That's your opinion. So rather than trying to force them to change, consider, is this a deal breaker for me? Or can I love and accept this person for exactly who they are? And of course, this isn't me saying that you shouldn't speak to them about it. You totally should. You can explain the way you think and feel about it to them and try and understand their perspective. But imagine how differently that conversation would go if you weren't coming to it from, you are so unreasonable for not doing X, Y, and Z, and I am right and you need to change because you are bad and you need to do this to make me happy. Imagine instead you were coming from, this is what I'd love for our relationship to look like. This is my preference. This is what I'd really love to have in our relationship. Is that something you want too? And genuinely just listening and being curious about whether that is a want match for them, about what their wants and preferences are. Do they maybe want to do that too, or meet you in the middle and do that together? Do they want that same thing, or do they want something totally different? And then you get to decide what you're going to do about that. Because if they want a relationship where they're out drinking 3 times a week until the early hours of the morning, they are actually totally allowed to want that. And someone else might want that too. Might be like, yeah, that sounds amazing. That's totally the kind of person I want to be with. I do that too. Perfect. That would be a want match. And you are totally allowed to not want that. You are allowed to want the complete opposite. You are allowed to want or not want anything in a relationship. And your job is to find people that want those same things that you do. For example, I don't drink, so if I were ever single again, my preference would be a partner who didn't have drinking as a huge part of their life. So I wouldn't want a partner that goes out drinking 3 times a week. I probably wouldn't even want a partner that gets drunk every week. I would prefer a partner that doesn't drink heavily at all. Is that reasonable or unreasonable? It's neither. It's just my preference. And I am allowed that preference. But my job isn't to meet a person and demand that they don't drink. My job would be, if I was ever single again, to go and find someone that also wanted that with me, that wanted to do that. Not wanted to do it just to keep me happy and people please me, but genuinely wanted to do it. And it's also so important that we clean up our thoughts about what we make their choice of behaviour or their preference mean about us. because it can cause so much unnecessary drama. And when you think someone's behavior is a reflection of you and means something about you or your worth and value, you might even end up staying in a relationship that isn't really a match for what you're looking for a lot longer than you should, because you're trying so desperately to change them so that you don't have to feel bad about yourself. You're subconsciously believing if you were good enough, maybe they'd be different. Maybe they wouldn't want to go out 3 nights a week. Maybe they'd want to make more time for me and not see their friends as often. So then you try and convince them to change so that you can feel good enough about yourself again. It's like, okay, if I can just get them to change and be the kind of partner I want them to be, oh, then I can believe I'm good enough. Then I can feel valuable and lovable. So you stay longer and longer trying to get them to change, trying to milk orange juice from a cow, which is a funny metaphor that I heard someone use once that always sticks in my head. It's this idea of trying to get someone to be something that they're not. Like, you're trying to get orange juice from a cow. It's the most frustrating thing you will ever do, and it will not be successful. So it's so important that we clean up that thinking and we see their behavior as what it is, which is a reflection of their brain's wiring and not us. And when you can stop debating if what you want is reasonable or unreasonable, and instead you focus on choosing the way you want to think and feel about things on purpose and managing your own mind, you will find it so much easier to decide what situations require boundaries, whether situations are deal breakers, or whether in fact a certain situation is actually no big deal to you. But you can't make that call while you're believing there's an objectively correct way of acting, and either you or your partner is in the right or in the wrong. So remember, there's just different circumstances that different human brains will have totally different thoughts around. And your job isn't to try and determine what is reasonable or unreasonable. It's to decide for yourself how you want to think, feel, and respond to those circumstances intentionally. Okay guys, that's all I've got for you today, and if this resonated with your brain, I will be able to teach you how to properly use and apply these thought work tools to your own life in my 12-week group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. So if right now you feel like this all sounds good and makes sense logically, but you're really struggling to challenge your default thoughts on your own or apply the tools to your own unique situations, or maybe you struggle coming up with alternative ways of thinking, this is where having the guidance of a coach is going to be really powerful for you. I definitely wouldn't be where I am now without the help of some brilliant coaching minds helping me to see my blind spots that I didn't even know I had. So the next round of the group coaching program is in May. And when I open the doors, there's going to be a 10% discount available just for the first 24 hours. So I'm going to put the link for the waitlist in the information section of this episode. And I highly recommend you go and get yourself on the list so that you don't miss that discount when it first launches. This round has been absolutely amazing, and I'm so proud of everyone that signed up and the work that they've done. And I know that the next round is going to be even better. So you do not want to miss it. If you have any questions at all, my email address is also in the show notes, or come and find me on Instagram and drop me a question there. And as always, if you are loving this podcast, please could you do a little something for me? Could you give it a rating on whatever platform it is that you're listening from? That would mean the absolute world to me, and it will keep me reaching more and more people with this work. I hope you all have lovely Easter weekends, and I will speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.